Well, tonight in our wonderful Words of Life series, we're going to look at a great verse for people who feel a little trampled down sometimes. I know that all Christians feel like that sometimes. I don't know if I catch you feeling like that tonight or if this is an easy time season of life for you. But sometimes all Christians feel a little beaten up, and the circumstances of life can be really, really hard. I was reminded freshly again this week about a young lady who's been through so much. And then I just found out again this week that her baby has a little bit of a problem and had to spend two nights in the hospital with the baby. It shouldn't be serious. It's just a urinary tract infection. But in this particular case, it's a little more serious than some. You think, wow, you know, she's already been through so much and now you have this. And you just feel a little beaten up sometimes. And normally when you're very young, you think that the world is mostly easy, mostly exciting, mostly adventurous. And then as you get a little bit older, you realize, as I like to say, that the world is mostly a battleground. And it's not to say that there aren't wonderful things going on all around us and something to look forward to every day. But mostly the world is a battleground. So if you feel like that today, this is your text. Psalm 66:12, just one simple verse, but read it with me. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. I remember sometime back reading a missionary biography, and they quoted this verse because that's exactly what they felt like. I think it was during the Boxer Rebellion, if you remember, in about, almost the turn of the century, 1899, I think. And, it was pretty awful. And those people were assaulted, you know, physically and threatened all the time. And finally they got away, and this was the verse that really sustained them in all of this, that they felt like they'd been trampled, and yet the Lord brought them out through it. We don't know who wrote this psalm. Obviously, the point of the psalm is to remind everybody to praise the Lord. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. That's how it starts. So we don't know who wrote that. Since we don't know who wrote it, we don't know if it was done in David's day or if it was done long after David's day. We just don't know. So because we don't know the person, we don't know the time. But we do know that whoever this is encouraging all, not just Jewish people, but all lands to praise the Lord because of the power he displays in supporting his own people and in defeating his detractors. So that's the idea from start to finish. You should praise the Lord because his power is magnificent. There are four highlights in this little verse that attract my attention. So let's deal with them one at a time. Each one, as usual, each one has a huge, huge impact. It's very colorfully written. So you can see the first clause is, you have caused men to ride over our heads. That is an image of warfare. And you can imagine if you're a soldier and you have fallen because you're weak, because you're wounded, because you've stumbled, whatever is going on. Maybe you have a bad foot, a bad ankle, a bad knee, and so you have fallen down, and here come the enemy's horses and chariots, and they ride over you. That's the idea. That's a warfare idea. And you know that the idea of trampling the enemies underfoot is a big deal in biblical times. Even the Battle of Armageddon, you know, the Lord is riding his white horse and it's splattered with blood up to the horse's bridle. He has been trampling over the enemies. So that's everywhere in Scripture, and that's the idea in this psalm, that we feel like we have been trampled. You've caused men to ride over our heads. We have fallen to the ground, and the horses and the chariots and the walkers are all coming and riding over our heads, trampling us underfoot. In the second bullet point, I'm reminding you here that corporate Israel had really been trampled in Egypt, you know, when they were slaves. They really were trampled. And then in the time of the judges, when in Joshua's day, they won all the wars. And then in the time of the judges, they started losing the battles. So once again, various people would have been trampled in those battles. And then in a big way with Assyria capturing the 10 northern tribes in 722, well, those people had truly been trampled, some of them to death in battle. The same thing with the two southern tribes, Judah, and in 586, they were really trampled. And so corporate Israel, the nation of Israel, had been in battles, had lost battles, and the nation, metaphorically speaking, had been trampled down many times. It's interesting, since we don't know who wrote this psalm, it is at least possible that the writer had really been trampled at one time in battle. I mean, just because a horse steps on you doesn't mean you have to die. So he might have survived it. We don't know who wrote the psalm, so we don't have the context for that. But Lord, you've caused men to ride over our heads. We've been trampled underfoot. So it's quite a thing to imagine. And in this slide, I'm reminding you that many Christians, great Christians, feel like they've been trampled and beaten down by men riding over their heads. Most of us are feeling a little queasy right now about the political direction of the U.S. We don't know the implications of that at a church level. We don't know the implications at a personal level. I mean, can you just bring in literally millions of welfare cases from across the borders and still have a United States of America? I mean, what will happen with the economy? How will that work? And what will happen with the Protestant Christian work ethic, which just goes away in this sea of new people who've never really had a work ethic? I mean, what will become of us? And most of us feel a little beaten down right now politically. Money grabbers, wherever you run into them, the guy who calls you on the telephone and he wants you to buy something, prince from Africa who wants you to send him $100 so he can free up his money and then he'll give you $500,000. I mean, everybody is trying to scam you and you don't feel comfortable right now because all around are people who are trying to get your money. Employers and coworkers. There was a headline in the news. One important CEO said, if you don't like your coworker, try to get him fired. Like, yeah, I'm sure that happens all the time. And if you're on the receiving end of that, it's no fun. Wayward spouses. You know, again, just this past week, I hear about a couple of it, not in our church, but Christian people leaving their spouses. I mean, you just feel like you're being trampled sometimes. Harsh friends, you know, someone that you love is now all upset and in a dither about something. You feel like you're just beaten down sometimes. Wayward church leaders, wayward fellow Christians, anti-religious and racially motivated detractors. All of us get trampled in life on a fairly regular basis. So you just feel a little beaten down sometimes. And that's what this psalm is all about. Lord, you've caused men to ride over our heads. It feels kind of awful sometimes to be trampled. I think it's interesting that the psalmist says, you've caused men to ride over our heads. That's very interesting. So God is not surprised that we're being sometimes trampled in this world. In fact, he causes these things to happen. He wants us, in one sense, he wants us to be trampled because that disciplines us when we've fallen into sin. Hebrews 12:11. Nevertheless, afterwards, the chastening, afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness in them that are exercised thereby. So we needed the peaceable fruit of righteousness when we had to get trampled a little bit. And God causes that when we're wayward. He causes that. And not only that, John 15:2, I like to remind you all the time about the pruning. Even if you're doing everything right, you still are pruned, cut back, so that you'll be more fruitful. And that's okay. The Lord causes people to ride over our heads because it makes us more fruitful. And so there it is. And lastly, to showcase our loyalty in battle when he wishes to reward us. 1 Corinthians 4:9, God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were, appointed unto death. We are made a spectacle to the world and to angels and to men. So, yeah, you're a spectacle. You're being showcased in battle, and then you're going to be rewarded. So it's not bad that God is allowing people to ride their horses and chariots over you and trample you down. He's causing it to happen, in one sense, causation, because we're wayward and we need discipline, or we're doing a good job, but we need pruning to do a better job, or he needs to showcase how wonderful we are in battle, even when it's not easy to be in battle. And for all those reasons, he causes it, and it should be okay with us. Does that raise any questions or observations? It's a hard pill to swallow. Lord, you've caused people to ride over our heads. And he has. Tom. Yeah, trampled by friendlies. That's true. Yeah, and you know, you forget how helpless you can feel. One time when we were in college, I can't remember what the occasion was, but it was like a joke. You know, we're going to rush the bum. And there were probably 30 19-year-old boys, like, rush the bum. And I remember I was somewhere in the middle of that pack, and you feel the power behind you. Think, whoa, I mean, if you get an arm in the wrong place or something, it's going to snap like a toothpick because there's a lot of power back there. And you can imagine in biblical times being in battle, we talk about PTSD. You wonder why a guy like David didn't have PTSD. I mean, he was hacking people up all the time, every day, probably during war season. And you think, wow, how do you do that? And how many times must you just, you know, you're running at somebody, swinging swords, it's pandemonium, and you must fall sometimes. Everybody falls sometimes. And when you fall, people must be stepping on you. Things like that must happen all the time. You feel the power. Like, whoa, I am very vulnerable in this world, and I'm not feeling very, very confident right now. No self-assurance. When you're on the ground and somebody is stepping on you, you kind of lost your bearings. That must be a weird feeling. So to be trampled is a terrible thing, but maybe you've been beaten down somewhere along the way, you know, emotionally, so that's not that different than if we were actually in war being trampled. And that's very unpleasant. Well, the next great statement in verse 12 is this one. So you've caused men to ride over our heads, and then we went through fire. That's a great idea. In verse 10 of the text, we have this: for thou, O God, hast proved us, hast tried us as silver is tried. So, you know, the drill with silver, you have to, you know, put it in the smelting pot. The dross rises and you skim it off, and then you're left with pure silver. And that's what this text says. These people have gone through hardship because they're being tried like silver. And that could still be anything that we've already talked about. You could be tried in the sense of, you have dross in your life as a wayward Christian. We're going to bring correction, and then that dross is going to go away and you're going to be pure. Or it could be dross in the sense you're doing a good job. You're bringing forth fruit, but we're going to prune you back, and now you're going to bring forth even more fruit. Not because you're doing anything wrong. You're doing a good job, but now you're going to do a better job. The silver is going to be more pure still. And it could be in the sense of God showcasing you in battle. You want to be as beautiful a silver coin or ring or whatever we're talking about as you can possibly be. And so the Lord is going to put you in the fire of battle, and you come through that and you're shining beautifully, and then he rewards you for it. So for all of those reasons, and the people here in this psalm can say, Lord, you've tried us like silver. We've been through the fire. So we've been through the fire. The second point, fire is a purifier of all precious metals. And then the third point in 1 Corinthians 3:13 through 15, this is a picture of the judgment seat of Christ. And you remember, we can all build upon the foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. And then the fire of God's judgment, the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work shall abide, he shall receive a reward. So there it is. So your works go through the fire. The Lord is going to select the things you've done in life, that are worthy of reward. Say, that was excellent, that was excellent, that was excellent. And you get an everlasting crown for that. And this fire judgment then is not bad. We're a little nervous about it. But if we've been following Jesus, if any man's work shall abide, he shall receive a reward. So if we've been following Jesus, it's not like we want to avoid that fire. We don't want to avoid it. That's kind of what we've been waiting for. We've been training for the Olympics all of our lives. Let's go and see how it turns out. So that fire judgment is not to be hated. It's kind of good news, but it is fire, and that's always scary. And we're reminded that Peter said the same thing. I know you can't see that very well, but 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, might be found unto glory and honor at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So your faith is like gold, like silver. And the psalm says, you know, we've gone through the fire. That fire, when somebody rejects you, when somebody disrespects you, when somebody persecutes you, when, you know, when you're a Christian kid and you step outside the accepted boundaries of the youth culture, you know, a Christian kid can do this and probably dodge a lot of criticism. But if he does this, if he goes outside the lines, if he's too Christian, if he's too spiritual, if he's too goody two shoes, well, then he's going to get beaten for it real good. And it's not that much fun to go through the fire, but it tries your faith. It makes you a better person. And the psalmist says, we've been through the fire. Trampled, and we've been through the fire. George, yep. You have to be put through the fire. You just have to be. And, of course, that brings us to our next point. We went through fire and we went through water. That's what it says. So you've caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. Well, what's the water all about? Verse 6 says, he turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. Obviously, that's a reference to the Exodus generation leaving Egypt. Of course, sometimes we're called to walk through deep water. The Lord doesn't push the water away so we can walk on dry land. So in Isaiah 43:2, a text we looked at not so long ago in one of our Wednesday studies, when you pass through the fire, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you'll not be burned. So that whole thing of water and fire comes up here as well. And the psalmist says, people have ridden over our heads. We've gone through fire. We've gone through water. And sometimes it's not, you know, parting the water and going through on dry land. It is up to your chin and really scary, and we'll see how we do here. And Israel, of course, has been historically trampled, burned, and drowned by Egypt, by the oppressors in the book of Judges, by Assyria in 722, by Babylon in 586. But not just the whole nation metaphorically and sometimes literally trampled, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they really, really did go through the fire. And a million Israelites really, really did pass through the Red Sea and then the Jordan River to get over to fight Jericho. So these literal stories, you think, you know, what's going on with the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Well, you don't probably have to go to the stake to be burned or to the burning fiery furnace, but you will feel like you're in the fire sometime. And when you are in the fire, you're supposed to think, oh, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were in real fire and they did okay. And when you feel like you're going through it, you just say, now how did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fare? They did a good job. Now I'm going to do a good job. There's reward at the end. I'm going to get a reward at the end. And they become the parables of how to do this. And so these are, in a sense, our examples. When you feel like you're in the burning fiery furnace, when you feel like you're up against the Red Sea and it doesn't look like there's much hope, then you remember, oh yeah, this actually happened. You know, not just metaphorically, this really, really happened one time to these people. And now you know how your story is supposed to go. So we went through fire and we went through water. And in all those cases, the psalmist is living to praise the Lord. You will make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. And so they did. One more great highlight point in this little verse. And it says, after all that, you've caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire, we went through water, and then you come to this. But you brought us out into a wealthy place. And that's a strange term for us. You know, we wouldn't say a wealthy place. We would say you brought us through to a place of overflow. You brought us through to a place of abundance. And overflow and abundance are synonyms in Hebrew to wealthy place. So after all of that, you brought us out into a wealthy place, a place where there is abundance after all. So this is always the end of the story, the rest of the story after God's chastening, pruning, and showcasing us in hardship. This is how it always ends. And that's why if we're in our right minds, we don't hate it when people trample us. And we don't hate it when we go through the water. And we don't hate it when we go through the fire. Because on the way, you know, it's pretty miserable. But when you get where you're going, it's a wealthy place. It's a place that overflows with blessings. It's a place of abundance. I can't remember the guy's name. I'll tell the story better in some near future. He's a Japanese gymnast. And he broke his leg in the Olympics. And he was, you know, picked to win a gold medal. And he wanted to compete with his broken leg. So, and it was not just a little broken, it was a bad break. And so I think it was on the rings apparatus. And he, you know, that's okay because you don't need your legs that much, you know, for the rings, except the dismount. And he did a big, you know, flipping dismount and went slam and locked both feet on the ground, on the floor, and he won. You know that story, Desi? And won the gold. What year? 1950. So when they interviewed him later about why he did it and how he did it, he said, well, it was terribly painful, but the pain soon went away and the gold medal is forever. Of course, you know, that's what we're doing in this Christian life. So, yeah, you know, how do you like being trampled? Not much. How do you like the fire? Not much. How do you like the water? Not much. How do you like coming out into a place of abundance? And there you stay. No more trampling, no more fire, no more water. Then you're just done. So that's the rest of the story. Say, no, it's a terrible story. You know, I broke my knee. It's a terrible story. It's not great sometimes. But that's not the whole story. You have to get to the end. If you don't read the ending of the story, then it doesn't make sense. But once you know the end, then you know what you have to do. So, conclusion. To feel nearly trampled, burned, and drowned to death is normal. Like, welcome to the club. It's normal in the Christian life, even necessary. In our right minds, we wouldn't ask to go uncorrected, unpruned, or untrampled in war. Because these are the purifiers of our souls that make our wealthy places at the end of life possible and wealthier. This is our path to what Hebrews 11:35 calls the better resurrection. So you can't hate the trampling, the fire, the water. Don't hate that. That's just on the path to the place of blessing, overflowing, abundant blessing. So don't hate it. That's how you get the better resurrection.